So I've been a writer for a really long time, and I've done a lot of research for a lot of different clients. And I can definitively say that of all of the research that I have done over the years for creative projects, this is the one that has definitely put me on a list somewhere. So the history of the DF and Bacchia episode started because something completely different, which if you're a content creator, you know that that's just how it goes. I wanted to do a YouTube video about the different plants that have been used, the different plants that could kill you, basically. And I wasn't really coming up with a lot of information, or at least nothing that was really titular. There was, you know, plants that you ingested a absolute bananas amount of poinsettia could be in for a really bad time. Or, you know, there's plants that are toxic to cats and dogs and things like that. But there wasn't anything that was really coming up that I could find that was going the way that I wanted it to in terms of story. And the search history that I have now is terrifying, completely terrifying. And if the NSA or FBI or anything, like, God forbid something ever happened to my husband because my browser history, they're not going to look at any other suspects. And I love my husband a lot. He is wonderful, amazing. I would never do anything to him, but I probably would be fingered as the culprit now because I was Googling, like, what plants can you use to poison people? How many people have been poisoned to death with plants? What court cases are there that are about plant poisoning, and so on and so forth? And it's just kind of like, you know, there's a pattern to this topic in my browser history that is probably going to make a defense lawyer someday. Not someday. Now I'm nervous. Let's move on. So I'm looking up this horrible information and I'm not finding anything really fascinating or really that is just, it's not coming up the way that I want it to. But I do stumble on the Diefenbachia, and it's one of the plants that seems to have the most general information on bad times and the bad things that it can cause. So I kind of dive in a little bit deeper, and I find this academic journal that is from 1955, and it's talking about just some really, really terrifying things that are being done or that have been done over history with this plant, the dumb cane, and how, you know, Caribbean slave trade, crazy Bahamas, and the poison arrows, all of this stuff. But there's a YouTuber called CJP Gray. And if you don't know him, I heavily recommend that you find him because he is just one of my favorites. He did a story about the history of the name Tiffany, and with it became a supplementary video that was much longer than the actual video of the history of Tiffany, talking about the absolute migraine-inducing journey that he had to do to figure out the story behind this and how primary sources were sort of making up stuff or getting names wrong, or like it just became this mountain that shouldn't have been a problem. And that's what mine became too. It reminded me very much of that CJP Gray video. In the 1955 journal, there is a story, I don't even know who it's counted to because it's all written in third person, by a man named J. Period Kremens, K-R-E-M-M-E-N-S, Fort Pierce, Florida. There's a talk of a personal correspondence he had where he talks about a case he read or he knew about that a eyewitness to a crime was silenced by having dumb cane leaves shoved into their mouth, and so they could not testify in court. And I was like, that's fascinating. That's amazing. Where can I find this court case? And so I'm Googling this court case. I'm trying to find like Bahamas Diefenbachia poisoning or something, and it's not coming up at all. And so I'm like, okay, maybe if I look up J. Kremens, I can find this information. So J. Kremens doesn't exist. And I'm like, crap, this is such a good story for the direction that I'm trying to go, because I want to talk about this kind of in a bigger scope about how the history of plants and the way we have utilized plants for good, but also for unspeakable, horrible evil. And I want this tidbit. It's going to be really salacious. It's going to be, it's really interesting. And it is about the history of the Diefenbachia, but I can't find it. I could have let it go. I could have just been like, all right, well, there's nothing I can do about it. Let me do something else. But my ADHD got hyperfixated on this. And I was like, I must find this information. And so my research into this topic became way more intense and way more terrifying in a search history collection of words that is just awful. But I cannot find Jay Cremens. Somehow I was able to figure out that Jay Cremens was Jim Cremens. And so I'm like, all right, now I have at least a first name. Jim Cremens, Fort Pierce, Florida. We're getting somewhere. I can't even be sure that it's Fort Pierce, Florida, but that's what the 1955 journal says. That's the best evidence I have. I'm gonna have to go with that. Somehow, Jim Cremens turns into Jim Crimmins, C-R-I-M-M-I-N-S, who was the co-founder of the Heathcote Botanical Gardens in Fort Pierce, Florida. And I'm like, that has to be it, right? What are the chances there's a Jim Crimmins who is the botanical world, the horticultural world, whatever, and is like, is he seems to be the right age for a 1955 correspondence. This has to be him. So I reach out to the Heathcote Botanical Gardens and my Gmail autofills it in for me as info@heathcote.org. And I'm like, okay, fantastic. That's awesome. So I explain, hi, I'm a writer. I'm doing this story about the Diefenbachia plant. There's a source from 1955 that unfortunately had Mr. Crimmins' name wrong. And as a writer, I feel like I should apologize for that. Do you know anything about this? Do you know anything about the story that he's told? Has he ever told it to you? Like, unfortunately, Mr. Crimmins is dead and his wife was dead too, who was also the co-founder. So the Botanical Gardens is run by other people. So there's no way for me to get that. But like, maybe God willing, like his papers are accessible, you know, like maybe this letter is there, or maybe somebody has heard this story before. So I write them and I explain and I say, you know, any information you have is just would be incredible. Thank you so much for your time. And I got an email back really fast, which was really surprising because this was the end of December when I was researching or when I was scripting this all out. And they write back and they say, hi, Megan, you know, unfortunately, we are not the Heathcote Botanical Gardens. Gmail had sent as info@heathcote.org when it should have been info@heathcotebotanicalgardens.org. Coincidentally, there's another heathcote.org and they were very nice. But they were very much like, I don't know a Jim Crimmins. I've never heard this story. I don't know anything about a Diefenbachia. I'm sorry, we can't help you. And I said, I am so sorry for bothering you. Thank you so much for getting back to me so fast. And they were very nice and very polite and very like, good luck. But yeah, so I go with my tail between my legs and I go back and I send the email to Heathcote Botanical Gardens and I double check the email and make sure it's right. And I don't hear back. But to be fair, I did not give them a lot of time to respond to me. And it is the winter and it is the holiday season. So the chances are that they're not there right now, or they're not checking their email, or they're, you know, like they could even be looking into this for me and I just haven't heard back from them. So I don't know. And I wanted to go and get this out because I have ADHD and it was just so interesting to me. I wanted to just like, I was all in on this story. So if they ever get back to me with that information, I will share it with you as soon as I get it. My ideal, perfect, amazing, pie in the sky wish is that they have the letter and they can scan it for me or something like that. Like that would be incredible. Anyways, so when I was looking up this journey, going through the Cremens journey, I stumbled on another academic journal. And it was, of course, now I can't think of what it was called. It was the Journal of Something. I know, super helpful, right? It's the Journal of Something. Meh. It was the Social History of Medicine. And there was a 2002 article written by Michael G. Kenney called A Darker Shade of Green, Medical Botany, Homeopathy, and Cultural Politics in Interwar Germany. This was like the key for the rest of my story. All of the PubMed articles I looked up, all of the crazy search history that I have all led to this, and it was so fascinating. And so Michael Kenney, if you ever hear this, you are my hero. Thank you so much for doing this tough work so thank you for crawling so that I could fly. Michael Caine goes into this just bananas history. The whole story of the interweaving of how the father of American homeopathy wrote about the Diefenbachia, and this got into a French journal, and this French journal was seen by this guy, and that eventually ended up with Gerhard Mauduss, and Gerhard Mauduss was doing sterilization projects, and he had noticed this, and his work caught the eye of a subordinate of Heinrich Himmler, and just the whole weaving of this story was so fascinating and heartbreaking at the same time. I have people in my family who are Jewish, and I felt very nervous about doing the Nazi portion of this because they have lost family members in the Holocaust. And so I was like, I can't really even put my finger on what it was that made me so nervous about doing it, but I felt like I had to do it right. You know what I mean? And stick to what almost could have happened had they been able to source enough plants, and don't make it just about if Mauduss had said, yes, I'll work with you. Instead, he didn't. If I had to, just based on what I read, if I had to guess, I have to say it's probably because they told him he was not allowed to publish any more work about it. And I think he kind of took that as like, well, screw you guys, I'm not going to help you then. Maybe he was more altruistic than that. I don't know. And I can't say. This is such a minefield topic, and that's why I want to make sure that I get it absolutely right. And I just kind of stick to the facts and make it about the entire whole history of the Diefenbachia. It was just such a nerve-wracking section for me to cover. If I can editorialize a little bit, it probably shouldn't have been, because that is the history of it. And I don't know. It's such a heavy topic, and it was such a completely different, surprising route to where I thought I was going to go with this story. You know, it's kind of like, I was hoping for sort of like a Lizzie Borden kind of thing, and I ended up stumbling on Caribbean slave torture and potential Nazi sterilization experiments. So, you know, like, that was not what I anticipated, and all of a sudden I am in a minefield of horrible, horrible history. So I've got to do it right. And I hope that I did. I hope I gave it enough seriousness and facts. This was the first episode, so I wish that I had put a warning on it ahead of time. Just, I don't know. It was such a heavy topic, you know, and it was such a surprising topic that I had never heard about. And if I hadn't heard about it, and I'm in this research industry of, you know, like, I write about botanicals and biology and science and things like that, and I'm a heavy researcher, and I'd never heard of any of this. So if I hadn't heard of it, most likely a lot of other people haven't heard of it either. So yeah, it was completely a journey that I was not anticipating and wasn't expecting to get such a tough topic to talk about. So yeah, I wish I had put a warning on the front of it. And I will going forward, I think, for any kind of topics that are kind of not great. But I've kind of podcasted myself into a corner, because this episode has been really well received, and thank you so much. I'm glad that you guys found it as fascinating as I did. But now I'm kind of like, how do I top slave torture and Nazis? And I don't want to make the history of plants, I don't want to make every episode negative. I want it to be about the history of fascinating plants, the things that we have no idea about. And I kind of hope that I can live up to the expectations that this first episode has apparently given. I'm a little nervous about it, to be honest. So my next topic that I'm going to talk about is, it's also an interesting history about an herb that I didn't know about. And I guess, like, that's just going to kind of be the route that I have going forward, which is awesome. Now I get to learn about these things. But I don't know. I don't know that I'm going to be covering a lot more of plants that have that kind of really complicated history. Or maybe I will. We'll find out together, I guess. So yeah, this has also become a journey of research, and become a journey that is really a frustrating journey of research, because I have topics I want to talk about that are about people who have had major accomplishments in this industry. One of them, and I'm just going to give you this information as an example. It's probably going to be a future episode, I hope, but I don't know. So there's a guy who's a scientist in Japan, and I apologize if I get his name wrong, but I think it's Dr. Masato Yokoi, who essentially is like the father of variegation for houseplants. And he had discovered a smattering of variegated houseplants. He had a really wonderful, rare collection. And he lived recently. Unfortunately, he's passed away, but he was around very recently. But there's no information about him online. There's no biographies. There's no pictures. I can't find a picture of Dr. Yokoi. So this has become a really benchmark of the amount of in-depth research that I'm going to be doing for these. And consequently, just in terms of that one, I'm kind of reaching out to people that knew him or that had worked with him, but they all have really fascinating journeys too. They're all really interesting people in this horticultural world. And so now I'm veering off into like different episodes about them and hoping that they'll talk to me about Dr. Yokoi. Yeah. So it's kind of funny if I can give you an overarching theme of the history of plants, it is way more research than I ever anticipated. That it's fascinating and frustrating and will make me a better writer, I think, and a better researcher. And yeah, going forward, I had originally planned to do just once a month episodes because this is such an intense area of research and it's just me doing this. So I have to also to focus on plant rooms, and there's just content that is well suited for audio and well suited for video, and sometimes those don't merge very well. So I want to keep those separate, even though they're all kind of under the same hub. And I only have so much time, you know, so I was planning to do monthly, but seeing the reaction that so many of you have had about the first episode has kind of made me think that I might need to, you know, put out a little more than that. We'll stay tuned. This episode right now is just a rambling run over, I know. And so I'm gonna end with this. Going forward, I will most likely do commentary on my episodes, but I will put that in a separate members only Patreon or something like that, just so that the true stories, the ones that need to be told, are front and center. And if you want to learn about my process or the trials and tribulations that I have had going through this, then you are more than welcome to join the membership area and learn about it and help support the channel. But even if you don't and you just want to listen to some podcast episodes, that supports me too. So thank you so much for being as excited as I am about this. That is really cool. And yeah, I'm going to go start working on that other episode I was talking about, finish writing that script, and I will see you in the next episode or in the next video. Thank you so much. We'll talk soon.